Reading to the New Testament scriptures. We're turning today to John's Gospel, chapter 10. These very well known and familiar words, John's Gospel, chapter 10. We're going to break into the reading at verse 7, and we'll read down to the end of verse 21. So let's hear the word of God as we find it recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 7 to verse 21. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil. And is mad, why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Amen. We'll end our reading here at verse 21. Now I'd like today just to leave with you a few thoughts on the words of verse 11. John 10 and verse 11. The Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In John's Gospel, there are seven famous statements of the Saviour, known as the great I ams of the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of the seven, the middle one is John 10 and verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Here at the very centre, we have this lovely depiction of Christ as the good shepherd of the chosen number. Chapter 10, of course, sometimes is taken as a story chapter for boys and girls especially. And we all like to tell the boys and girls about the Lord Jesus Christ as the good and as the chief shepherd. But it is also an amazingly complex chapter in the Bible. Because in it the Lord Jesus Christ was dealing with the spiritual leaders of Israel. He was battling against them, the scribes and the Pharisees, who were the spiritual shepherds of Israel in the days of his flesh. And he wanted to counteract their false shepherding of the people of God. So in verse 11 to verse 21, he completes his discourse with the Pharisees. And, of course, if you read the previous verses, they had excommunicated the beggar to whom Christ had given sight. And in the portion which we have read, the unfaithfulness of the Pharisees is contrasted with the faithfulness of the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, he depicts them in verse 5 as being strangers to the sheep. Sheep always know their owner. And they always know their shepherd. I used to stand in amazement, and I used to watch the shepherd boys in Kenya. and they would have been with their flocks and common grazing ground, and maybe there might have been a dozen of them, but once the one shepherd left, to whom that particular flock of sheep belonged, the sheep all followed him. They knew not to follow another, but they followed him. But the Lord Jesus now said concerning the Pharisees that they were strangers to the sheep. The sheep did not know them. They're represented in verse 8 as thieves and robbers. It's not very complimentary, is it, when the pastor, the shepherd, the chief shepherd would say about them, they're nothing else but thieves and robbers. In other words, they had plundered the flock for their own financial gain. And sadly today, in our own day and generation, there are many so-called mega church pastors. And they have plundered the flocks for their own personal gain and for their own personal advantage. In verse 12 and 13, they're charged as being hirelings. The hireling was someone who was just brought in to look after them. They were employed by someone else to look after the sheep for them. In other words, they had no heart concern because these sheep didn't belong to them. If something happened to them, they wouldn't be out the money. They wouldn't be out the cost. It didn't really mean very much to them. In other words, they were only there for their wages. But now Jesus painted a total contrast to what has gone before. He said, I'm the door by which the sheep enter. And I am the good shepherd of the sheep. As in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, so in our own day. It is amazing, men and women, there's nothing really new. As there were false shepherds in the days of Christ, so there are false shepherds in our own day and generation. We live in an age of a multitude of false prophets and false shepherds who have lifted themselves up as spiritual leaders, and confusion abounds across our land. And my concern is, not that you really would get to know who the false shepherds are. My concern is that you would know who the genuine shepherd is. Because if you know who the genuine shepherd is, you'll be able to spot the false shepherd 10 miles away. So today in our time around the Word of God, we're going to stop here just at this lovely verse, John 10:11. We'll use it to open up the portion of Scripture to us, and we're going to take a fresh look at the Lord Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd. It's lovely, isn't it? A blessing. We've been singing it just a few moments ago. It is amazing that you and I can sing today, I have a shepherd, one I know so well. It's one thing, dear man or woman, to sing it. It's another thing to know it from the heart. What a blessing to say that you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour, but your own and personal Shepherd. So firstly, let's learn something here about the character of Christ as a Shepherd. He is set forth as the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. That's significant in and of itself. Three times over, the phrase is used in the Gospel of John. And it's interesting to trace the first mention of the word good in the Gospel of John. It's found in chapter 2 and verse 10. And that was, of course, a reference to the first miracle of Jesus at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, where he turned the water into wine. And here the meaning of the word is, it was an excellent, it was the choicest wine. It was the most excellent wine. It just wasn't good wine, it was excellent wine. It was the very best. It was preeminently excellent because Christ produced it. And this was contrasted with the inferior stuff that the guests had been served out by the master and the host of that day. So the first mention in John's Gospel ties in well with Christ's usage of the word in John 10:11. Because when Christ said he was the good shepherd, what did he mean? Well, he actually meant that he was preeminently above all other shepherds. He was the excellent shepherd. He was the choice shepherd. He was above everyone that had gone before. Now, of course, the Jewish listeners to the Saviour would have been well aware that there were others who had gone before. But they were but types, they were but shadows of the one who was to come, the promised Messiah. The first shepherd that we read about in the Bible was Abel. We read in Genesis 4 and verse 2 that Abel was a keeper of sheep. As the first shepherd, he foreshadowed the Messiah shepherd because he was slain by those of his own flesh. And wasn't that the charge that Peter laid against the Jews in the day of Pentecost, that by wicked hands they had crucified and slain the Saviour? Then we have Jacob. We read about him in Genesis 33:13. He said unto him, "My Lord knoweth the children are tender in the flocks and the herds, with young or with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die." Remember, this was Laban going back, and he met with Laban on the way. And of course, or with Esau on the way. And of course, he was a man, and God had blessed him with large flocks. They were his wealth. The flocks were his wealth. He had invested everything he had in those flocks, and he exercised great care over those flocks. And we think of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is his flock that is Christ's wealth. He owns the cattle on a thousand hill, the wealth in every mine, but the greatest treasure that Christ has on earth are his people. It's the people of God that are the greatest treasure that Christ has on earth. You mightn't think very much of yourself today, but you're the greatest treasure. You are the wealth of Christ on this earth. You are his wealth. You are his glory. You are his flock. It is an amazing thing. We often sing that hymn. This is the great disadvantage of COVID services. You just can't ad lib and say that hymn. I'm going to sing it now because it has to be on the PowerPoint of us. Thinking it even this morning when this was all done out. Counted in, amongst the host of God, I was counted in. What an amazing thing that grace counted us in to the flock of Christ's pasture. We are his wealth. We read of Joseph. We read the very first thing that is recorded about him in Genesis 37 and verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. Here we have a picture again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the Jews, they knew about the shepherds. They knew about the ones who had gone before. Christ was now saying he was the preeminent one. He was the most excellent one. But they would have known about Jacob. They would have known about Joseph. And the first thing we read about Joseph was that he fed the flocks. And that is, Christ is the great shepherd. He was given a flock by the Father. Way back in eternity past, the Father gave the Son a people to save. They were his flock. And Christ, as the great shepherd, was charged to feed them. Now he comes in John 10 and he says, "I'm above even Abel, I'm above Jacob, I'm above Joseph." And then he said, because the Jews would have known fine well who the other shepherds was he was talking about, "I am above Moses." We read in Exodus 2, verse 16. "Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flocks. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flocks." What a shepherd was Moses. He knew what the sheep needed in the dry and parched desert. He knew that those flocks needed watering, and he could bring them to the water. I think of those words, those beautiful words of Psalm 23. "He leadeth me beside still waters." Thirsty soul, today Christ is the only one who can give you what your soul needs to drink. I think of David. What can we say about David? Well, the Bible tells us what David said about himself. Remember when he introduced himself to King Saul? He said, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep." 1 Samuel 17:34. "And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard." This was hand-to-hand combat. The very breath of the enemy would have been upon him. "And I smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear." What a picture of Christ. Because Christ put himself between the enemy and the people of God, and Christ went into hand-to-hand combat with the enemy at Calvary. There was the idol shepherd. In Zechariah chapter 11, 17, woe to the idol shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm. This is the devil's counterfeit. Number 6, the devil's counterfeit. But Christ is the 7th shepherd mentioned in the Bible. He's 7th because that's the number of perfection. He's a perfect shepherd. He's the good shepherd. We can say above all others, he's the great I am. I am the good shepherd. There's nobody else like him. This was a clear statement Christ was making about his deity. There's nothing could compare with that. He was saying he was equal with Jehovah. I am that I am. Remember how the Lord revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. I am. And now Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And this is the one who comes to Anna Long today. Comes into our midst. And he says, I'm the shepherd of the chosen number. And I'm here to bless you today. We learn something about his characters. We look at all of these shepherds. But they were the ones who went before. He's the preeminent one. The most excellent of them all. I have a shepherd. Secondly, notice with me. The cross work of the shepherd for the sheep. Because the good shepherd, he giveth his life for the sheep. The phrase has been rendered variously. But we can say he layeth down his life for the sheep. This was something that he did willingly. This was something that he did voluntarily. He was not forced to do it, but freely and willingly, he laid down his life for the sheep. There, of course, had been shepherds who had put themselves in jeopardy for the sheep. We thought about David, he put himself between the enemy and the sheep. But the ordinary shepherd might well lose his life in looking after the flock, but none before, since ever, voluntarily laid down their lives for the sheep. Willingly, voluntarily, freely, he laid down his life for the sheep. An ordinary turn of events when the shepherd perhaps would have been killed by the lion or the bear, that would have meant disaster for the sheep, because it would have meant now the lion and the bear could have tore the whole flock asunder. But in the case of the Lord's flock, the death of the shepherd meant life for the sheep. The life of the flock was secured by the death of the shepherd. What love did the Saviour have for the sheep of his pasture? Verse 15, John 10 tells us, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. The cross work of the Lord Jesus was something that he was not coerced into, not that he was forced into. It was a work that voluntarily he undertook to do. He laid down his life for the sheep. It wasn't nails that held him to the cross. It was his own free will. It was his own love. It was his own submission unto death. It was a work which he undertook to do for his flock, for his sheep. I think here we're taught something concerning the extent of the atonement. The preposition for shows us that the Saviour laid down his life for the benefit of the sheep. And thus his death was the means by which the sheep were saved from death and destruction. We read in Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Sometimes Christians, they think that they come into church to be ministered to. No, my brethren and sisters, we come here to minister. We come here to serve. We come here to serve others. Primarily, we come here to serve God, but we come here to serve each other. And we come here to serve the cause of Christ, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. But the closing part of that verse tells us he came to not to be ministered unto, but to minister. How? because he gave his life a ransom for many. He gave his life a ransom for many. And the ransom which he paid was for his sheep. The price was not paid for the goats. The price was paid for the benefit of the sheep. The crosswork of the Lord Jesus Christ always had a definite number in view from all eternity to eternity. For Jesus died for those who had been given to him by the Father. That flock which had been entrusted into his care in eternity past was now given into the hands of the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd, in fulfilling all that the Father gave him to do, he laid down his life for those sheep on the cross of Calvary. We read in John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." I love that verse. It just depicts the gospel in its entirety. Sovereignty, responsibility, but sovereignty emphasized at the very start. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." That's wonderful. All the flock that was given to Christ in the great providence of God, they'll all come to Christ. None of them are ever going to be left behind. None of them are ever going to be lost. They're all going to be brought in. John 6:44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Verse 65, he said, "No man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." Isn't that humbling? That's a humbling truth of God's word to proud hearts today. But that's not just the teaching of John, it's the teaching of all of the scriptures of truth. Christ loved the church, his flock, and he gave himself for it. How we bless God today for the cross work of the shepherd for the flock. But I thank God for how it's personalized in our hearts. It nearly seems presumptuous to say in such a manner, "He died for the flock, but he died for me, a member of the flock." How did Paul say it? Clearer than any of us, I fear. Galatians 2:20. Great verse. "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me." He just didn't love the world, he loved me. God so loved the world, but Paul said, "No, he loved me." How? "He gave himself for me." What a shepherd. He loved every one of the flock. He loved the sheep. He gave his life individually for us. The Saviour taught that this work of laying down his life for the sheep was the means by which they were going to be gathered in. He said to the Pharisees in verse 16, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold." Now they didn't like to hear that. The Jews didn't like to hear that there were Gentiles that Christ was going to gather in. They were just as dogs to the devout Pharisee, to the scribes. That was the pejorative term that they used concerning the Gentiles. They were just dogs, just like dogs of the street. But God had a people amongst them. The sheep were to be found everywhere. The shed blood of the shepherd was the means by which they were going to be gathered in. And I'm glad today at the message of the good shepherd, it reached this part of the vineyard and on along, and I rejoice in all that has been gathered in one by one. God has added on to the number, and that's just how the work of God goes on. What a gathering. But what a gathering all over the world. Not just in our own little land, not just in our own little locality, but all over the world he's gathering them in. We thank God for the presence of Israel and his family today with us. Can we say they represent South America, the great land of Chile? God's gathering them in. I think even under the flag of our own little mission board, they're gathering in the Nepalese, the Ugandan, the Kenyan, the Spanish, the Australian, the Liberian, the Irish, the British, the Asian. There's sheep there, and God's gathering them in. They're all coming in. But tell me, have you been counted in? If you have not trusted in Christ, if you have not entered in through Christ the open door, then you're still one of the goats. You're a goat amongst the sheep. Spiritually, you're a goat amongst the sheep. What an awful thing it is. Here you are as a goat amongst the sheep, and the good shepherds come to visit the flock, but you've not been counted in, because you haven't as yet trusted in Christ for salvation. Well, he invites you today. He invites you to come to him. What a wonderful invitation is on the gospel book still. Come unto me, Jesus said, and I will give you rest. Come unto me and be saved. Thirdly, notice with me, the complete knowledge of the shepherd about his sheep. Oh, he knows the sheep. I love how it further qualifies it in verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. And know my sheep. There's nothing he doesn't know about us today. He knows the sheep. He knows their number. I think of those words in Psalm 87. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. Was born there. He knows those who have been born again. Why? Because he counted them all up. The New Testament also gives to us some definitive representative numbers concerning the flock over which the Lord Jesus has the care. We read in Matthew 18, verse 11 and 12, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And then we have the illustration of the lost in the very next verse. How think ye if a man have 100 sheep? That's a representative number. The flocks were counted in hundreds. A representative number. And one of them be gone astray. The shepherd couldn't rest until that one lost sheep was brought into the flock. The Lord knows the exact number of his elect. And heaven will not rest until they're all gathered in. He knows their names. Verse 3 of John 10. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. By name. He knows my name. I just don't mean he knows me as Ian. Oh, he knows far more than that. He knows what the name represents. He knows the personality. He knows the strengths. He knows the weaknesses. Everything. Everything is included in that. Every anxious thought. He knows. Every hair of my head. He knows. Every downsetting, every uprising, every going out, every coming in. He knows. He knows you today. Better than you could ever even know yourself. He knows their natures. He knows their natures. Sometimes we think as sheep has been very complicit, pliant animals, but sometimes we know also all we like sheep have gone astray. They love to stray. It's the nature of the sheep. If you provide them with a gap in the hedge, they'll know how to go through it. But what a comfort to know that despite our straying, despite our backsliding, he loves us. He loves us. Hosea 11 and 7 says, my people are bent to backsliding from me. We don't like to look at that. But you know, you can't stand still, dear brother or sister. You can't stand still. You're either backsliding or going forward. But he knows our nature. He knows the needs. He knows the needs. He knows your financial need today. He knows your emotional need today. He knows your physical need today. He knows your spiritual need today. He knows. Others will forget about you, but he'll never forget about you. Your names are engraven in the very palms of his hand. Finally, let's take a look. We'll look at the counterpart of all of this, and that is the corresponding knowledge of the shepherd by the sheep. A true sheep of Christ's pasture will know the shepherd. It's wonderful to know and to say, Christ knows me. But if you belong to the sheep of his pasture, you can say, I know him. I know him. Even in measure, I know him. We read in verse 14, I know my sheep and am known of mine. Am known of mine. The Bible talks much about the relationship of the shepherd with the sheep, but also it talks a lot about the sheep with the shepherd. If you want a classic example of that, Psalm 23 is the classic example. If you're one of his flock, the Bible says, you will know him. You will know him. I think there's a very mysterious comparison here, which is, I think, beyond depths that we can ever fathom the sight of God's eternity, but it does have a practical application to our souls today. It's not hard, really, for Bible-believing people to say that God knows me. Christ as the great shepherd knows me, and in such a manner, even as he is known by the Father. That's an amazing statement. But it's much harder to understand how I can know him. He knows our names, so we've been led to know his. The true Christian knows the name of Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. If you have been led to the salvation which is in Jesus, Emmanuel, then you've come to know that saving experience of Christ in your heart and in your life. We know him, even by the union which we have with him. There was a union that existed between Father and Son from eternity to eternity. A real, living, intimate acquaintance. And our union with Christ is no less real, no less intimate. We are one with him, one with the shepherd for all eternity. One with the shepherd for all eternity. As his children, the new life of glory has already dawned upon our souls. We're united to him. We know him because just like the Son and the Father, he hears us and we hear him. He hears us and we hear him. We read in John 11, 41, 42, they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Verse 42, and I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. The Father always hears the Son. Verse 3, verse 5, verse 16. You say you know the shepherd. But when was the last time you heard his voice? When was the last time you were in private communion with him in such a manner that it was just you and Christ spoke to your soul and touched your soul? Well, what an experience that is. This is the mark of Christ's true fold. They know the shepherd, but they hear the shepherd and are in communion with him. This is this fourth central I am. I think all seven statements, of course, are vitally important. But here we're at the heart of it. The Good Shepherd. Is he known in a saving way to your soul today? Can you say, I have a shepherd? Not just sing it out, but do you know it in your heart? That's the vital test. Do you know the one who laid down his life as a ransom for you? Are you in communion with him? Have you heard his voice today? Have you heard his voice in the past week? Were you going some way and he directed you another way? Did you open the Word of God and suddenly that verse of Scripture just jumped out of the page at you? The Spirit of God impressed it upon your heart and you just knew that you had been spoken to. Have you heard him in such a manner in the past days? May the Good Shepherd draw alongside to all of our hearts. Make himself known. And brethren and sisters, may you and I every day seek to make ourselves known unto him. May the Lord bless his word today, and may the good shepherd himself draw near to all of your hearts and to all of your lives. Let's conclude by singing our final hymn today. It's a lovely one that I rediscovered again. It's in our book, 582. Maybe we'll stand as we sing our final